Being a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, I realized that something that we had assumed in America, which doesn't take place in Eretz Yisrael, and that is that you talk about Pesach time. But in Eretz Yisrael, usually everybody's thinking about Purim before Purim, and then after Purim, everybody's gone. So then we get to talk about Pesach. So in the Parshas of the Erev Bo, maybe we'll talk a little bit about Pesach and Yonim, and of course the relevance that it has to us as Amir Tzashem husbands and fathers. Well, let's start off reading the Pesukim in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. Elokim spoke to Moshe and he said, I am Shem Yudke Vavke. And I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the name of Shakai, and the name of Hashem. I was not, Rashi learns, lo nodati, lo hodati engsivkan, el lo nodati, lo nikarti lahem. I didn't encounter them, bimidas amitas shali, with the full midah of Shem Hashem. Rav Yosef, these psukim, I'm about to say a little bit of a controversial statement, but I think that these psukim, when you read them, is the greatest raya that sometimes you need Chassidus and Kabbalah just to read a simple pasuk. Al pi nigla, these psukim don't make very much sense. What does it mean that I related to them, I spoke to them only in the name of Shakai, but I didn't speak to them in the name of Hashem? What do those words mean? So Nesiv Shalom has a beautiful, beautiful mahalach, which Bezer Hashem I hope will come back to in the end as well. Nesiv Shalom points out, as we know, but just fleshes out some basic yesodos that give us an approach to some understanding about the Shemos Hashem. The Shem Shakai Rashi describes in a few places Al Torah refers to Yesh Dai Bo Olamo. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Dai. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, there's enough. Enough of a revelation of me in the heavens. And in Kabbalah represented the Tzimtzum, the constriction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or in the words in the Siva Shalom, it refers to the Seder of the Olam. The Seder of the Olam, the natural order of the world. However, the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Ava towards the world, and particularly towards Klal Yisrael. And that Midah of Ava is expressed at times beyond the Midah of nature, beyond Seder. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'era El Avram El Yitzchak Ve'El Yaakov Bekel Shakai, I appeared in the name of Shakai. In other words, we're adding now to what the Nesiv Shalom says. Avram found HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature. He looked into nature and he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't the Gilui. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov not with his Gailus of Kriyas Yamsuf, not with the Nisim of the Esemakos. Rather, their Avodah, the Avodah of the Avos, is to bring out the Midos of Chesed and Gvura and Tiferes, all of those Midos in nature. However, there are times that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Megal himself the Midas Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Midah of Ava. And the Midah of Ava is one of the most comforting things that exists in our own existence. Because Bnei Yisrael had sunk to the level of Mempes Sharei Tuma in terms of the Seder HaDvarim, the Seder of the spiritual order, if you will. They were stuck because they've got another 190 years to go and they're already in Mempes Sharei Tuma, the buzzer's running out. comes the Midah Ahava, it goes beyond the Midah of Seder and takes Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lahem, this Bechina of Ahava, Klal Yisrael hasn't experienced and will experience in the future. The Psukim go on, and the Psukim then describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us out. L'chein Pasuk Vav, L'chein Emar L'mei Yisrael, Ani Hashem, with this Midah of Shem Hashem, V'otzeis Yeschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, V'itzalti Yeschem Me'avod HaSan, V'galti Yeschem Zoyin Yitui V'shvatim G'dolim, V'kachti Yeschem Lila Am. It's not often that we have Rashi and the Rashbam in a halachic sugya, in the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, that quote a medrash on the pasuk. The medrash on this pasuk says that these, one of the most famous medrashim that probably exists, is that these four lashonos of Otseisi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti correspond to the Arba Kosos. So in Mirtz Hashem, the first 20 minutes, half hour, we'll discuss some basic yesodos, only some, of the Dalet Kosos, and we'll see their hashlachos, or what it tells us about Leil Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Taisus in Pesachim on Tzadik Tesam Abeis, Dibar Maskel Lo Yifchasu, Taisus over there discusses the following shayla. Taisus says, I'm not sure that when it comes to the Dalet Kosos, whether the Dalet Kosos Meikra Medina, every single one of the Bnei Abayis have to have, or just the Bala Abayis. Tosis points out that the Lashon of the Mishnah, V'lo Yifchesu Lo Me'arba Kosos, the Lashon of the Mishnah seems to indicate that the Bala Abayis should have Dalet Kosos. However, Tosis says, we also have another Gemara later on, Kufches on the base, that says Hakol Chayav Barba Kosos Echad Nashim VeEchad Tinokos. It sounds like everybody needs to have Dalet Kosos. So Tosis has a suffix. What is the Chiyuv of Dalet Kosos? The Chiyuv of Hakol Echad VeEchad, or is the Chiyuv of Baal Bais? Of course, the minhag throughout Klal Yisrael is to have that everyone with a kos. However, Tosis had a suffix. What's Tosis' suffix? What's the amkus of the suffix? So to explain the suffix of Tosfos, there is a stira that the Brisker Rav pointed out, or a problem. The best way to present it is a problem in the Rambam. The Rambam understands that if somebody drank Dalet Kosos, there are times that you could be yotze only a partial component of the mitzvah. Many of you are familiar with this halacha, that if someone drinks all Dalet Kosos in the right time in the Seder, but it's not mozug, it's not properly diluted, in those days, if it's not diluted, it meant the wine was too heavy. So in such a case, the halacha is, yidei yayin yotze, yidei cheres lo yotze, he wasn't yotze the chiyuv of Cheres. Why? Because that's not the way the Kosos are supposed to be drunk. However, if a person drinks all four of the Dalet Kosos, Bebas Achas, Shosam Bebas Achas, and this is the way the Rambam learns the Sugya, if one drinks all the Dalet Kosos, the Sugya on Kufches as well, if one drinks all four of the Dalet Kosos, Bebas Achas, the halacha is that on the one hand, Yidei Cheres Yatza, it was appropriate wine, but Yidei Yayin Lo Yatza, he wasn't Yotze the Chiyuv of Yayin. So asks the Brisker Rav, just what's Pshat in the Rambam? What does the Rambam mean? How could it possibly be that you're not Yotze the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos of Yayin, but you Yotze the mitzvah of Cheres? Isn't Cheres a prat in the Dalet Kosos? Isn't that a detail in the halacha of Dalet Kosos? How could it be possible that you're Yotze Yidei Yayin, Yotze Yidei Cheres, excuse me, but not Yidei Yayin? How could such a thing exist? So the Brisker Rav, to address that question, quoted what Reb Chaim said. It's the Brisker Rav in Sefer. He quoted what Reb Chaim said on Tosis's Suffolk. Again, so let's come back to Tosis's Suffolk. Tosis's Suffolk was I'm not sure whether all the Bnei Abayis are supposed to have Dalet Kosos or just the Baal Abayis. What's Tosfos is Suffolk? It says, once you understand Tosfos is Suffolk, you'll understand, a nice coincidence, that the Rambam holds both of those things in the Suffolk. What was the Pshat in Tosfos Suffolk? So the Tater Reb Chaim said that the following Pshat. He said that the Suffolk is, what is the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos? Is the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos that you need to have four brachos on four kosos? Is that the chiyuv? Is the chiyuv of four kosos a din in the four different brachos? Or if you want, I think Reb Chaim is very wary, of course, of introducing any machshava, but I think Reb Chaim himself will allow us to say the four lashonos of Otseisi v'itzalti v'galti v'lakachti. Is it correspond to the four brachos that correspond to those four lashonos of Geula? Or is it din in shtia? Or is it a din of drinking the dalet kosos? So Tosfos said, if it's a din in bracha, so we know for Kiddush, that we say the rule of Shomei HaKohanim, you could have someone being motzi somebody else. However, if it's a din in the shtia, that each person needs to drink the four lashonos of geula, that's something to think about after four kosos, to drink those four lashonos of geula, so then in such a case, then it's a chiyuv on each one of the Bnei Abayis. The Rambam holds both. The Rambam holds that you have both dinim. On the one hand, there's a chiyuv of shtiyas hakos, and then there's also a chiyuv of four different brachos, four different lashonos. So let's go back. If you have a case in where someone drank all four kosos, so when we say yidei yayin lo yatsa, what it means is the chiyuv of bracha al yayin, of what we are calling right now the four lashonos al yayin. So then lo yatsa, but yidei cheirus yatsa. He is yotzei the chiyuv of the shtia of cheirus. So that's how you can understand the double expression yidei yayin lo yatsa, yet yidei cheirus yatsa. If you had assumed yidei yayin is the base chiyuv and yidei cheirus is the other level of chiyuv, so then you can't explain how it could possibly be that you yotze yidei cheirus if you're not yotze yidei yayin. However, if you say that there are two distinct chiyuvim according to Rambam, that the Rambam holds that both are true, that there's a chiyuv of bracha and then there's also a chiyuv of shtia, so then you can understand the distinction between yidei yayin and yidei cheirus, and it's possible to have a phenomenon of yidei yayin lo yotze, but yidei cheirus, he is yotze. It is interesting that they say over there was a machlokis between the two brothers. There was a machlokis between the Briska Rav and Ramesha Soloveitchik, in which it sounds like the Briska Rav was Lashitasa with his mahalach in what he says in the Sefer. It's actually very reminiscent. The machlokis between them is reminiscent of the famous story of their Zayda, the Beis Halevi. That one time a woman came to the Beis Halevi with a shayla. She said to him, Rebbe, I have to ask you a shayla. Could you be yotze dalet kosos with milk? So the Beis Halevi answered yes, and then he sent the shamus with a lot of money to her house. And his wife asked what was going on. So he said, that the shayla was about milk, but the real shayla was that they didn't have enough money for wine. So it seems that both the Briska Rav and Ramosha Soloveitchik once themselves had the same shayla. Because there was a discussion, I don't know if it was with them at certain times or with someone else in Brisk, but there was a discussion, could you use, they had enough money for the following. They had enough money for one person for Dalet Kosos. Also, it can't be massive, but this was what life was in Europe, an economic downturn. People are giving up their season tickets at Yankee games. Once upon a time, these were standard shaylos. They had enough money for dalet kosos for one person for yayin, and the same amount of money was able to buy beer for the whole family. So either the whole family would have dalet kosos on beer, or the balabayis would have yayin. So there's a beferish Ramah that says that b'di'eved you could be yotze with chamar medina. So Ramesh Soloveitchik paskin that use chamar medina. Everybody should use chamar medina. This way everybody could be mekayim the mitzvah. And the Briska Rav said no. The Rizker Rav claimed that what the Ramah was saying is, Bidyeved, you won't be Yotzei the mitzvah of Shtiyas Yayin, but you'll be Yotzei the mitzvah of Bracha, if you only use Chamar Medina. Because he held that all the Ramah was saying, based on our Tzvei Dinin, is that Chamar Medina is enough to make a Bracha. We can make Havdalah over. You can make a Bracha of Kaishal Bracha on Chamar Medina. But by definition, it's a Bidyeved. But a Yayin, it's not. That's an interesting question now, to how that extends to grape juice. That's beyond our scope for tonight. But he said that in such a case, you're only going to be Yotzei half. And when the Ramah said that Bidyeved, you could use Chamar Medina, what the Ramah was saying was that you're only being Yotzei half of the mitzvah, Lishitasa, with his longus that he has in what we call in Sefer. Lishitasa, his longus in Sefer. So, the Brisker Rav said like this. He held, not like his brother, he said that the Baal Bayis should have wine, and he should make the bracha for everybody. So, because then, at least, you're going to have the Baal Bayis being motzi everybody on the din of bracha with Shomei Akona, and he will drink he'll be Mekayim the mitzvah of Shtia. But if everybody's going to have beer, no one's going to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Shtia. So at least have the Baal HaBayis be Mekayim the mitzvah of Shtia and the bracha, and everybody else will have the bracha through Shomei Akona, Lishitaso, that the bracha of Dalet Kosos works in this manner. So Brisker Rav works out with his mouth. Is there anything that needs clarification on this previous point? Tov? What the Rambam says? Absolutely. The Rambam says, the Rambam is based on the Gemara in Kuf Ches. I'll find it for you afterwards. The Rambam says that the halacha is that if you drink four kosos at once, the Rambam says if you drink four kosos at once, and you didn't break between them, so in such a case, the Rambam says that your yotzei, the chiyuv of yidei yayin, yidei cheirus, excuse me, but yidei yayin, you're not yotzei. Yidei cheirus, you're yotzei, yidei yayin, you're not yotzei. So the question is, if you're not yotzei yidei yayin, so what significance is the cheirus? That's what the Ram. That's the question. So the answer is that there are two distinct components. Yidei Yayin is the din of bracha, and then the din of Yidei Cheirus is the din of shtia. This was the approach of the Brisker Rav. Yes, sir.
What did the Yidei Yayin mean before we had this understanding of that?
Oh, bracha? The simple reading of the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara, when we say Yidei Yayin is the korchiyuv, that you yotze the korchiyuv versus the Yidei Cheirus, because the other Rishonim have different gears than the Gemara.
Just to have
Dalet Kosos, correct. Not to break it up in such a way. One time I told one of my Talmidim, he said he wanted to learn Lamdus on the Parsha. So I recommended to him the Sefer Minchas Chinuch. Of course, Minchas Chinuch, as many of you know, is one of my favorites. But it's not only my favorite. It was the favorite in all areas of Jewish scholarship, both in the Litvisha world and in the Hasidish world. In fact, I think it's the most popular sefer of Achronim that exists today. Also, they say that Reb Chaim only looked into Achronim. Kuli Alma Moda was the Minchas Chinuch, and everybody says it was their Zayd the Sefer was the other Achron that Reb Chaim looked into. But either way, Kuli Alma's Moda, in fact, I have a thesis that many of Reb Chaim's chakiris are reworked chakiris of the Minchas Chinuch, said in slightly different form, with different afkaminas, different ashlachos, but of course Reb Chaim was extremely creative, but that's how much he was ma'arich the Minchas Chinuch. So anyhow, so the book, I recommend it. 3 weeks later, I asked the guy what he was doing. So he said, it's great. He said, I love the Minchas Asher. So I said, Minchas Asher is great, but the Minchas Chinuch is a classic. But Rabosai, he's becoming more and more of a classic in himself. And Minchas Asher, him has a hasaga on this, has his hasag on the brisker rav. He reads so nicely, so beautifully. Minchas Asher in this week's parsha says this chiddush. Although he says he's attacking the brisker rav, he has to realize he's attacking Reb Chaim. But he says this chiddush of the brisker rav, he says, doesn't seem to him to make sense to say that there's a din bracha of the dalet kosos. Says the Gemara never speaks about the dalet kosos just in the context of bracha. The Gemara speaks about the dalet kosos in the context of cherus, that you need four kosos for cherus. The Gemara never says the idea of bracha when it comes to the dalet kosos. So Minchas Asher is bothered by this formulation. So then, once you get, if you accept his objection, so then we're stuck again. The halacha of saying that Yudei Yayin and Yudei Cheirus are two distinct things, how could they possibly be two distinct things if you don't say one's a bracha? So Minchas Asher introduces a Tosfos that I think many have missed. I don't think I ever was aware of this Tosfos. I'm excited to share it with you. And he suggests that the Pshat and the Rambam would be based on this Tosfos. Tosfos says in Sukkah, La Mechesa Mir Aleph, Tosfos Dibra Maskel Misha Ye'eved V'isha, says a simple line. He says, Lo tiknu dale kosos, el kedei lomar aleim halal v'hagoda. It might be mistaber this Tosfos, but I wasn't aware that such an opinion in the Rishonim existed. And that is, that the takana of dale kosos is to say halal and hagoda. And of course that fits beautifully in the Medrash of this week's parasha, that the vo'otzeisi, v'itzalti, v'galti, v'lokachti corresponds to the dale kosos in which we say halal and agada, both halal and sipur yitzias mitzrayim, on those dalet kosos. So now let's go back to difficult Rambam. So Rav Asher Weiss says he understands the Rambam differently and the Safek and Tosos differently. The pshat in Yedei Yayin and Yedei Cheirus is not about bracha. You're right, there's no idea of bracha. But rather, when it comes to dalet kosos, there are two components that exist. One is the shtia, and the other is the halal and the agada. Which one is the primary one? Is it the shtia, or is it the halal and agada? If you say the primary one is the shtia, so then everybody needs to have dalet kosos. But if you say it's the halal and agada, so many Rishonim bring out the notion that we say shomei ka'oneh by halal and agada. Halal shoshira is an interesting question, but when it comes to the Pashtus, we would say Shomei HaKa'oneh. Minchas Chinuch brings this out as well. We say Shomei HaKa'oneh. If we say Shomei HaKa'oneh, so then in such a case, over here, we understand why Tosfos would say that maybe there's no Chiyuv on all the Bnei HaBayis. And this will also plug well back into the Rambam in his reading of the Gemara, Yedei Yayin versus Yedei Cheirus. If you're going to gulp down all four, so then in such a case, Yedei Cheirus, you're not being Yotzei this core Chiyuv of expressing the halal and the agada. What I would like to examine, though, with Rav Weiss's find of Tosfos and Sukkah on Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph, is where did Tosfos get this from? Where did Tosfos get this idea that the halal and agada is expressed over the dalet kosos? It's a big chiddush. In many ways, Reb Chaim is not going with that because he's using other previous existing categories of halacha, bracha and achila. Those are pre-existing categories in halacha. Tosfos here is introducing, it's a beautiful Tosfos, but where did Tosfos get this idea that the dalet kosos are to precipitate the halel and the agada? So I think the answer to this question is a Rashi in Psachim on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. And this Rashi is a very, very loaded Rashi. Rashi says, on the words of the Gemara, Lech, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Rashi says on the words, Lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbei. Rashi says, She'gomrim alav es ha'halal va'omrim alav hagada. The reason why Matzah is called Lechem Oni is because we say halal over it, we complete halal over it, and we say the Haggadah. So the expression lechem oni doesn't only mean a poor man's bread, but refers to the words that are said over the matzah. So Rashi is introducing a very important yisod. Rashi is introducing, based on the Gemara, the yisod that matzah is not a mitzvah by itself, but matzah also is something that precipitates Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's supposed to initiate and create a context for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now, maybe we could suggest that this yisod of Lechem Shona Lav Dvarim Harbe, which is part of the Din D'Oraisa of Matzah, if you take a look in the Gemara over there, the Gemara uses it in the context of the Din D'Oraisa. So of course, one of the basic yisodos that we've all learned from our Rabbein is called the Tikkun D'Rabbanan Kein D'Oraisa Tikkun, that the Takanis D'Rabbanan are modeled after the Dinei D'Oraisa. So maybe one could suggest that the Makar for Tosfos is the idea that Matzah is already there to precipitate Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and once Matzah is there, so then also the Takana Midrabanan of Dalakosos is there to do that as well.
Okay,
these are Dvarim Pshutim and basic Yisodas. Based on this, I heard from my Rabbeim in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, I heard it from a few sources. I think Rabbi Braunschweig used to say this. I think Rabbi David Hirsch, I heard him say it once as well in a Chabura. Based on this, they wanted to answer the Minchas Chinos Kasha. Based on this, Rashi wanted to answer Minchas Chinos Kasha in Mitzvah Chaf Aleph on the Mitzvah Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Minchas Chinos has a very famous Kasha. The Chinuch throws in a line the Minchas Chinos can't understand at all. And that is, he says, and women are chayavos in this mitzvah. Big debate amongst the Achronim. It brings up the question, if you're in those homes where every person reads the Haggadah separately, if one's mother is reading the Haggadah, is she motzi you in the chiyuv of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Chinuch throws in beferish that women are. The Minchas Chinuch points out, the Rambam doesn't seem to say it, and he asks, it's a mitzvah sasesha as man grama. So some want to give the following achronish answer for the Chinuch. They want to say the following. Once we say that women have a chiyuv of matzah called sheyeshon v'al tocha chametz yeshon b'mitzvah sachilas matzah, so then it could very well be that matzah itself, it's a chidush, but matzah itself is incomplete without the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The two mitzvahs of matzah and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim work hand in hand. Lechem shonin alav dvarim harbe. They work hand in hand. Ad kedei kach, that it can't be that someone is chayim in the mitzvah of matzah not being osik in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Can't be. It has to be a lechem shonin alav dvarim harbe. So therefore, they're included in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a chidush, but I have to share with you a chidush from the old home, and this is what they said in yeshiva 10, 12 years ago. It's an interesting idea. Rabosai, but this is not just an idea that's important in halacha. It gets to the core of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Shagas Aryeh has a very famous kasha. Shagas Aryeh asks, what is this mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim altogether? You're in shul, you're davening Pesach night, you say Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. You're Yotze. You said it. You're Yotze. So what's this whole big to-do about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim if you do it every night? Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, you do it every night. So here is an exciting piece of information. Rav Braunschweig told us that the Rav told him that Rav Chaim started his Seder with this question. This is how Rav Chaim started his Seder. Chaim started this kasha of the Shagas Aryeh. What's the difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? At the end of the day, you're Yotze, the core chiyuv. So the Shagas Aryeh seems to lean towards the idea, ain't a chinami, but on Leil Pesach, you have to add a little bit more. You have to add more. But essentially, you're Yotze already with the Zechira. Reb Chaim felt that this was incorrect. And Reb Chaim introduced the Lashonos of the Rambam in the beginning of the 7th parak of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah. And Reb Chaim pointed out that if you read the Rambam carefully, you see three fundamental distinctions between the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and this will take us back to the yisod of Lechem She'onin Lav Dvarim Harbe and the yisod of Tosas and Sukkah that says that the dalakosas are to precipitate Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam starts off, Mitzvah Sasei Shal Torah L'Saper B'Nisim V'Niflos, Shenasel Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim. And then he says, the mitzvah is to inform the children. That's in Perek Beis. Perek, in Halacha Beis of Perek Zayin. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, V'tzarech Lasos Shinu B'Layla Zeh, Kidei Shiru Abonim V'Yishalu. So the first chiluk Reb Chaim said between the mitzvah of Sipur and Zechira is that it has to be done b'derech shelo u'tshuva. Ad kidei kach, that the Rambam says that if there's no children, he asks his wife. And if he doesn't have a wife, he asks himself. So the fundamental difference between Zechira and Sipur in that Sipur is done b'derech shelo u'tshuva, it has to be done with question and answer form. Zechira is a pure utterance. The Rambam in Halacha Dalit adds another chiluk. Vitzarech lahaschil b'gnusel l'sayim b'shvach. You have to start with the tragedy and then add, and then conclude with the Yitziyah and Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the second distinction. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim doesn't have that. The third distinction is the Rambam in Halacha Hey. Kol mi shelo amar shlosh advar meilu b'leil chamisha selo yatzadei chavasa. The third thing is, you have to say the words Pesach, Matzah, Mar. It's interesting to add, not only to say, but the Gemara, right on that Mishnah, points out, on Kuf Tezayin, the Gemara says, and when you say it, you're supposed to lift up the Matzah and Mar, Mitzvah Shem this year, to add, to lift up the Pesach as well. To add, to lift up the Matzah and Mar. Those are the three distinctions. So what was the Shagas Aryeh's question? The premise of Shagas Aryeh question was that the only difference between Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim and Sipur is just a quantitative difference. If you read the Rambam carefully, it's clear that's not a quantitative difference. Qualitatively, they're fundamentally two different mitzvahs entirely. One is an utterance of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the other is Sipur. Why is it that Sipur is so different? What is it about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim that's so different about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? In a very seminal piece in the Yahrzeit Shiurim, the Rav brought out the idea that Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about Talmud Torah and the Hemshech of Torah from one generation to the next. To the point that I think that Leil Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim becomes the paradigm of what Chinuch is supposed to be. We see that from the fact that the Rambam continues on, and the Rambam says that you have to be Doresh, the Pasuk of Arami Ovid Avi, includes Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebaltah. So Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is fundamentally different than the Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, because Sipur is about the Hemshech of Mesorah vis-a-vis Talmud Torah. And it becomes the paradigm of Hemshech HaMesorah al-Yidei Talmud Torah. Now, Rabbosai, I'd like to suggest the following chidush. I'd like to suggest that that corresponds to the Yesod that we saw in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. And that is, there are two bechinos, there are two relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have the relationship with Kudsha Baruch Hu bebechinas Shakai, the sublime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature. But yet, when it comes to the transmission of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, what's Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's not the exodus of Egypt, but it's the building of Klal Yisrael as an Am towards Kabbalah Satorah, Tavduna Marazet. That ultimately we're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's going to be a hemshech of the Mesorah that begins with everything Yitzias Mitzrayim represents. So there are two parts of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One's the individual's own personal kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship, if you will, to put it in Musar terms, much of it falls into the category of the struggle, the Melchemes HaYetzer, the struggle of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And then there's the Shalshelas HaMesorah. Then there's the projection of the Mesorah from father to son, from Rebbe till Talmud. When it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is not about the internal utterance, but represents that Hemshech of Shalshelas HaMesorah, that has to be done begilui. That has to be done begilui. That has to be done in a way in which there are props. It has to be with lechem shonin alav dvarim harbe. It's not enough just to say with words. There needs to be a context. It needs to be not only in one dimension, but in three dimensions. For the shalshelas hamesorah to work, there has to be a projection through three dimensions. And so that's why the Bechina of Yudke Vavke becomes associated with Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's part of this Shalshelas HaMesorah that's also done not in a private manner, not about an utterance that's relating to the individual himself in his struggle in understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his struggle with his Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, but rather is something that mimics the Yudke Vavke, the outward expression, the gilui, outside. And this, of course, is why the Din Dorai says, Lechem Shonin Alav Dvarim Harbe, and why the Din Darabanan models that. Because when it comes to Shalshelas HaMesorah, it's not about the internal subconscious in the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's about using every single color of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful world in transmitting it to the next door. Rabbi Branchfield used to point out that these three dinim that differentiate between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim all are classic pedagogical tools. Let's take them apart. Derech She'elo U'tshuva. Mirtzei Hashem, many of you are going to be Melamdim Rabbanim. We see over and over and over again great Talmidei Chachamim who just come in and lecture and leave, that doesn't have the same hashpah on the Talmidim as the Rabbeim who challenge the Talmidim. Challenge them, question them, push them. That the Talmidim feel that there is a communication that's bederech she'elo u'tshuva. A child has to feel that he's being engaged. A child has to feel that he's being engaged. It also applies to our own personal learning. And that is when in our own personal learning, nothing is superficial. Everything has to, even when we're learning Bikiyas, every single part of our learning has to be done with a critical form of thinking. The Kutzker Rebbe used to scream about people who learn without understanding, who learn superficially. The Seisnish Lernen, it's not called learning. Even if when you're covering ground, but at least to ask the basic questions in the Sugya. The only way that Torah goes from one generation to the next is with that challenge of Pilpul Chaverim. Rabbi Simon often decries notebook Judaism. Notebook Judaism where the Talmud comes in and writes down notes, and that's it. No interaction with the Rebbe, no Sheila Utshuva, no questions. All of that is a tremendous chisaron. That means that we have to work, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to be parents of children who are beginning to grow in learning, to be able to come down to our children's way of thinking and be able to engage them. Shalashuddas, at home, by us, we have Sipurei Tzadikim. We don't say any Torah. We say Torah that come from stories. All the children say a story if they want. If they don't want, it's also okay. Stories are a very, very, very powerful tool in engaging a child. But the essence of Mesoras HaChinuch has to be through She'elo Tshuva. That's the first distinction. Between just a Sipur, which is about the Shalshelas, and Zechira, which is about being Mechazik ourselves. Zechira, when it comes to being Mechazik oneself, so then Amir is going to be enough. But for Sipur, to be able to transmit, then there has to be a Masa Umatan. Second chiluk was, Maschel Begnus V'Sayim B'Shvach. The ability to use drama. It's not just about stating facts. The ability to use drama to give over to children. How I still remember the plays from when I was 8, 9 years old in camp better than I remember yesterday's sugya. Those things stay with us. The drama stays with us. And parents themselves have to dream up those moments of drama as well. In fact, the Rambam's lashon chayv adam laharos esatzmo kiu yatzu mimitzrayim. So by our Seder, most of the time, and even though it's really more a Sephardic minhag, I think that many Ashkenazim should start doing it as well as at home. And that is to get out of your comfortable chairs and begin to recreate Yetzias Mitzrayim with your children. Somehow my wife gets stuck to be Paro every year. But to most of the Seder night is in the playroom, is not around the table. It was striking to me. A psychologist once told me that he asked a parent, "Do you ever play with your child?" A father. The father said, "No." Very intelligent, thoughtful person. No. Requires a tremendous koach for a parent to realize that they have to go down and engage the child on their intellect. And part of that drama includes the realization that religious experience goes beyond the intellectual experience. And that means taking the children to experiences that will have profound hashpos on their ruchnias, but at the same time isn't necessarily an intellectual experience. I was speaking at a very, very chashuv litvishe chasana to somebody this past week. I don't know how I get stuck with this, but my cousin just married Rav Elyashiv's great-grandson. So what's amazing thing is that Rav Elyashiv didn't even come to the wedding. He's Baruch Hashem, he's healthy. He's giving still a shir every day. I think he's just too busy with Klal Yisrael's inyanim to come to his. It's well known that he won't travel to Bnei Brak to the great-grandchildren's weddings, but to the ones in Yerushalayim, they expected him to come, but last minute he didn't. He didn't come. So Rav Israel Orbach was the Masada Kedushin. So I was at the Chas, and I was talking to a very chashuv litvishe young man, and I told him that I was talking to him about taking my kids through Rabbi Bina. We have the zechus of being able to go to many tzaddikim, but the truth is, you have tzaddikim right here. You don't have to have the connections. You have to get up at 3 a.m. But I came to Beit Vegan to take my son to see the Amshinava Rebbe. Many, many people you could come and you could see. And I was talking to this very chashuv litvishe Talmud Chacham. He himself is connected to a lot of miyuchasim, and he said to me, "It was a mistake that I didn't do that with my own kids." So my kids saw many of those Talmud Chacham that you're describing, but what he heard was all the rabbinic politics that was around them. But the experience of going to watch a Talmud Chacham, going to watch a Chassidish Rebbe in the drama of it, so the kids were too close. The kids were too close. And sometimes they didn't experience the drama around it, but they experienced all the frustrations of the Chatzer. So a person needs to make a cheshbon how they're going to create that drama for their children of Avodas Hashem. And finally, what was the last one? The last one was our Yisod. The last one was our Yisod of Lechem Shonelo Dvarim Harbe. Koshlo Omar Shosh Dvarim Elu Pesach Matzu Umara. Rashi says, the Gemara says that you have to point to them. Props, the three dimension, is absolutely critical in Harbotzas Torah, Talmud Torah, and Avodas Hashem. And that is to be able to use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, all three dimensions, in serving Him. Too many times people look at Avodas Hashem and Talmud Torah in constricted ways. There's no reason why every person in this room doesn't feel a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Lomdus, Bikiyus, Chasidus, and Musa. And biology, chemistry, and kosher literature. A person who's missing any one of those seven things that we listed, I'm sure there's more, A person who's missing any one of those things, then that person is not relating and not being able to give over their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to their children, with all the gvanim, with all the components. And Mesiras Shalshelas HaMesorah, that's represented in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the ability to use the props of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Here, biblically mandated props, but the entire world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's biblically mandated props. To be able to give over that to our children. So going to the zoo is also, even with, if it's not the biblical museum here in Eretz Yisrael, going to the zoo in itself is an expression of Avodas Hashem. And that's all part of the Gilui of Yud Kei Vav Kei of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. How does the Rambam continue with the next halacha? Then the Rambam says, and after you do all these things, Chayev Adam Laharos Esatzmo Kilu Yotzim Mitzrayim. Rav Avram Willig pointed out to me today that the pinnacle of Harbotzas Torah, Shalshelas HaMesorah, of Lel Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is dafka if it's Liros Atzma or Laharos Esatzmo. You can't come to Laharos unless it's Liros Esatzmo. And that is, you yourself have to feel it. If the parent doesn't feel that passion, then there's no way that the parent's going to be able to give it over to their children. Which means there's nothing wrong. I hope I'm not an expert mechanic of children, but this is what my gut tells me. If mechanichim disagree, please let me know. There's nothing wrong with a father choosing to learn something with his child, something that he enjoys. Because if the child's sense intuition is so deep and so profound, I've told you in the past the advertisement in the New York City subway of the black child with wide eyes and the sign, it's about abuse, where the sign says, don't forget that there's a sensitive recording device inside. Everything that we do, a child picks up on. Rabino always likes to say, you could fool everybody in the world except for your children. You can't fool your children. Your children will pick up on everything. There's no way that they're not going to pick up on every single one of your chisronos. So that means, if you sit down with the child and you don't have that passion in learning what you're learning, the child is going to feel that. So even though this is premature, well, it's a few years down the line, but it's already kedai to really internalize this idea that the ultimate is when liros esatzmo, the ultimate is when the parent himself has that feeling. If the parent doesn't have that excitement, in this case, the excitement of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then in such a case, things can be lacking. I'd be most of even more. And that is not only sharing with them the joy of learning, that you should really enjoy what you're learning, but also share with them your own personal joys in Avodas Hashem. I'll give you a personal example. I have a dream, which is very, very far away. And that is to write a sefer, like most people who are learning, want to write a sefer. Some Rishonim say that's the way, some Achronim say that's the way, the new way to be Mekayim in the midst of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Those of us who are Zohar to be learning for a few years want to be able to put our Kedushim down, that when we pass on, that someone will be able to look at our Kedushim. So one time my son came into the room. I was secluded in my room for a while, writing up that week's worth of learning. And he asked me, Abba, what are you doing? And it's interesting, today it's even less clear to the child, because once upon a time, the child saw all the Sfarim open, saw the inkwell, and saw the beautiful big piece of paper and the beautiful cursive writing of his father. He knew his father's being Osek Torah. Now, when the father is sitting and on the laptop writing Kiddushei Torah, he could just as well be reading the news. So I told him, I think that maybe I'm writing. And then I said, you know what? I'll tell him I'm dreaming that I want to write a sefer. So every time now he comes into my study and he sees that I'm on the laptop, maybe most of the time reading the news, he says to me, Abba, you're writing a sefer. There's a very, very important yisod that now takes effect. And that is, the child feels the passion of the father. The child is now feeling the parent's passion. So if we share, don't only keep those ruchniyostik experiences to ourselves, but we share it with our children, so then before long, the children themselves develop those same shifos. Where do children's shifos come from? Most of them come from their parents. It becomes complicated. Thankfully, I'm talking to people who are 15 years away from dealing with adolescents. I have no idea how we're going to get through that one. But right now, in terms of creating, obviously during the adolescence, those shifos are going to get bumped a little bit, but those core shifos are always going to stay in that place. And finally, lamaisa. With our wives as well, the same so applies. And that is, too many times, the wife feels that my husband's going to kollel, he's disappearing for 12 hours, and then he's coming home, and I'm waiting for these hours to tick by, 4 hours to go, 3 hours to go, 2 hours to go, and then he comes home, and then we do whatever we're going to do. So those 12 hours are a big black hole, unless you find a way to share with her why those 12 hours were meaningful. And sometimes that requires creativity. But sometimes all you need is to say, you know what? My chavrusa and I didn't understand the Tosfos, and I suggested this pshat, and I went over to Rav Miller, and Rav Miller was masking this pshat. Share with her that. She's been moser nefesh. She's been moser nefesh. Maybe it's not the serious nefesh of 1850 Europe, but there's a lot of serious nefesh nevertheless. Share with her those accomplishments. Because then it becomes her accomplishment as well, and then she feels that she has a chelek in it. And then there's an even harder part. This one, once we begin to ingrain ourselves in that, just to begin to open up our day in the Beis Medrash with her, if you're mechaving to something, if you said a chiddush, if you slug your chavrusa up, what makes you happy is you slug your chavrusa up, so tell her that, although Taisus himself says, I'm not sakanta chaver, it's better that you... Better that you're not being created altogether. But share with her those accomplishments. And sometimes she'll understand them and sometimes she won't. But worse comes to worse, she doesn't understand in all the implications. So she didn't understand your teretz in the Rambam. But at the end of the day, many of the times she'll be able to empathize with it. And finally, and this in many ways, emotionally and psychologically, is one of the hardest things to do, is to share one's dreams. And that is to really, really begin, and this really is very much appropriate to the theme of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The essence of an Eved is an Eved feels stuck in where he is. Eved cannot view his life as any different than getting up tomorrow and doing the same thing. Every single one of us as Bnei Chorin Ruchnias, have a requirement to be Shoef, to be more. That tomorrow should be a day that's even greater than today. Every single one of us has that view to dream. And to share with our wives those dreams, whether it be in Gashmias, I'm adding, even in Ruchnias. On a practical level, if she knows what your dreams are in Ruchnias, so then when you spring onto her that you want to learn for the next 10 years, at least she's prepared. Or that when you want to go into Chinuch, at least she knows about it. But on a much deeper existential level, that she feels that she's a chelek of those she'ifos. On this nekuda, I keep on getting stunned by it with my Talmidim, over and over again, with 19, 20, 20-year-old, 1-year-old Talmidim. And that is, I keep on finding that many of them, very, very good boys, have absolutely no koach for she'ifos. They don't have the ability to dream. They view themselves only in the here and now, and they cannot view themselves with their kochos in the future. I was talking with one of the best boys in my shir. I was talking with him what he means, not sure. He wants to go to this college, wants to go to this yeshiva. Fantastic boy. In Midos, in Limud. Fantastic, fantastic boy. So he was masupak about a lot of things. So I asked him, could close your eyes And you could decide. And Rabbosai, everyone here should also do it in their way as well. Close your eyes and decide, what do you want to be in 15 years from now? You could have all the money in the world you want. You could have any job you want. You could marry any type of girl you want. What do you want? And he couldn't do it. He pashut cannot do it. So I have the following chakir. I'm not sure. I'm bringing out a case study. I'm not sure how to deal with this. But here's the chakir that I have. Is it pshat that he has such a low self-esteem that he really can't see himself doing something even relatively great in his life? He can't imagine being able to do what he wants, to do it well. Or he has appropriate self-esteem, but he doesn't have the koach to dream. The koach of she'ifos. He doesn't have that ability to transpose his healthy self-image to a 35-year-old, to a 40-year-old. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll know in a couple weeks from now. I'm not sure. But either way, that's a tremendous handicap. That is a tremendous, tremendous handicap. The inability to dream, to be able to look and say, 15, 20 years down the line, I dreamed that I could finish Shas. 15, 20 years down the line, I dreamed that I could write a Sefer. 15, 20 years down the line, I dreamed that I could change the lives of 25 high school boys. Or that I could be a millionaire and support many, many maestos. Whatever it might be, that ability to be shoeif is something that's extremely, extremely, extremely important. That's the difference between an Eved and a Ben Chorin. And that's an extremely important nekuda to share with our spouses. Because when we begin to dream with each other, so then it gives us a tremendous koach, the koach of Bnei Chorin, that we never thought that we have.
Josh says that it's 9.
It's based on the stuff here.
Okay.